Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 18. We have been watching the death germ cell of civilization deteriorate before our very eyes, which is the family. You know, all the signs are very abundantly clear. What we're experiencing all around us is an attempt to destroy the home. And, I could bring a bunch of statistics. I could drag all those out, all the indicators concerning the dire straits situation in our culture and in our nation. And I'm not going to do that this morning. It's obvious when you watch the parade of media, you see constantly the media concerning divorce and the information concerning sexual rebellion and abortion and sterilization and delinquency and infidelity and homosexuality and women's lib and children's rights, etc., on and on and on and on. In my lifetime, I have watched the formation of a rope to strangle the family. And God's people are the only people in this country that are trying to offset that terrible demise. The church needs to rise up. I've often said here at Victory Church, you know, the church is a friend of the family and a family of friends. We should be helping to undergird and strengthen the family. And I believe we do that. I believe the church does that better than any other institution on the face of the earth. There's no greater friend of the family than the church of the true and living God. People have happily been carving out the tombstone for the family for many, many years. There's a book that was written called "The Death of the Family." There's a British physician, and he constructed a book to try to destroy the family. He wrote in that book, he said, the primary conditioning device of the family is Western imperial world views. He says, the family needs to go. There are other books that have been written. There was another book that is out to destroy the family by one of these women, one of these feminists. I think the book is called Sexual Policies. She said the family must go because it oppresses and enslaves women. I mean, we've got all of these ideologies and all these things out there that are bombarding our society, and they are very aggressive. They are working diligently to destroy the family, and they're forthright. They're aggressive. They're domineering, and the scary thing is that you find this ideology, you find these views primarily in our colleges and our universities. And they are instructing our children that become the shakers and movers of our society. Now, that's scary. It's very frightening what you see on the horizon as a result of these views. I believe the Bible gives us a perfect guideline for how to have a good, happy, wholesome, healthy family. And it's in the Bible that we find how the family is to be constructed. The church has been watching the death of the family, and we see it as disastrous, don't we? I mean, the family is the very fabric of our society. It's the family that needs to function properly in order for society to survive. Our nation cannot survive without a good, wholesome, happy family. They cannot. If you destroy the family, you destroy the society in which we live in. It's forged into the very fabric of our nation. A happy, wholesome, healthy, working family. The family is headed for danger. It's on the endangered species list, if you will. People are trying the devil. The devil has been, the arch enemy of the church is attempting to destroy the family. And we're in a fight. We're in a spiritual warfare. For the family is forged in spiritual things. When we talk about the family, we're actually talking about spiritual issues. Malachi chapter 2 was quoted this weekend, and it's obvious that the Lord Jesus, when he put the family together, when God put the family together, and Jesus, He talked about that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That constitutes a home. And apart from marriage, you have no family. The family unit is constructed on the principles of marriage. God putting a man and a woman together to constitute a home. Now look, the home is the only ideal place, the only perfect place for the rearing and the raising of children. It's the only perfect place for intimacy. Apart from marriage, intimacy is adultery and fornication. Amen? Isn't it shocking that 400 Christian leaders are having to give up and resign their position at church because they've been found on that adulterous website? We've got serious problems in our country. We've got serious problems in the church. Now, I want to ask you, before I read these verses of Scripture, I've been teaching on the home and the family for 20 years here. And I want to ask this question. How many people went through that marriage class that I gave back in 1998? Some of you, I know. Stand up. Would you stand up? You guys were there, Doug and Terry. That was one of those things about, yeah, that's one of those things about that generation. All right, how many here have I, remain standing. How many here have I married and you went through, or maybe I didn't marry you, but I was involved in your marriage, or you attended my premarital class. Would you stand up? Attended the premarital class. All right, you may be seated. Some of these things I'm going to say, you guys have heard before. There's no new gimmick for having a good home. There's no new method or some special thing that needs to be done to have a healthy relationship. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God preached. We need spiritual things. That's the key, that's the paradigm of having a perfect home. All right? So I'm going to read these verses of Scripture. And the question before us is, can the family be saved? Can the family be saved? Another question I want to propose to you this morning is, should the family be saved? I mean, is it worth what? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth fighting for the family? Is the battle worth it? And the last question I would propose to you, if it is worth fighting for, how do we fight for the family? All right, that's where I'm going this morning. And I want to say again, there's been this preoccupation with how we do this. I mean, just go to Lifeway, go down the aisle, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of books on the family, on the home, on marriage, on raising children. We've had endless sermons and seminars and conferences to deal with this issue. But it doesn't seem to be making a difference. We still keep going downhill. I mean, over the last 20 to 30 years, there's been a lot of stuff that's done, but it doesn't seem to be making a difference. I mean, for goodness sakes, look what just happened in our country in the destroying of the family. So, What is the answer? I believe there's only one good answer, and it's God's holy word. I believe the Bible makes it very clear that marriage is the grace of life and children are a blessed heritage from the Lord. And we need to get back to the Bible. Do you realize that people have been getting married and having wonderful, happy families for thousands of years without attending seminars and without reading other books other than the Word of God? You think about the wonderful marital relationship between Abraham and Sarah. For goodness sakes, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Wow, he must have really been doing something right in his marriage. There is a way. There's a biblical way. There are biblical principles. There is a Christian way. You know, family, from my point of view, is still the heart and soul of the human society in which we live in. Our civilization needs some good, solid, sustained families that are sustained by the power of God rather than the gimmicks of the world. I love marriage. Listen, folks, marriage is the place for intimacy. I'm going to say that again. Marriage is the only proper place for intimacy. Okay? I mean, it's a place for joy. It's a place where you forge out memories. It's a place that builds a foundation. It's a place of love. It's a place of socialization. A place where morality is embedded in our children and in the bedrock of our lives. It's a place of security. And if we have the right kind of homes, we'll have a stable society. So, I'm going to read these verses. Let me say something else in my introduction. Kind of a long introduction, isn't it? I'm going to preach to you, I guarantee you. I'm just giving you an introduction. Everything I have read, and I've said this in the past, and what I did in preparation for this message, I went over all the different times that I preached on the home and the family and marriage and raising children. And this is a collage of many sermons. Everything from, you know, the maze of motherhood to faithful fathers and deadbeat dads. I mean, those sermons that I preached in the past. From the age of 6 to 12, from everything that I've read and everything that I believe, children, during that time in their life, during that period of time, and we had that on the screen yesterday about the seasons, there are special seasons, and that's a special seasoning time for children between the ages of 6 and 12. It's where everything foundationally is put down or not put down. And if you don't form your children during the ages of 6 and 12 properly, when they reach puberty, they'll be out of control. They won't know how to deal with those issues and those emotions and those biological changes in their lives. And we have seen that run amok in our society. It's critical. During those determinative years. And you know what? You can examine what went on in a child's life between 6 and 12. And 9 times out of 10, you can see that it determines whether they are criminals or whether they are servants of the Most High God. Critical time in a child's life. That's illustrated in the life of Jesus Christ. At the age of 12, teaching, you became the son of the law. You were responsible unto God at the age of 12, right? Bar mitzvahs and all those go on in the Jewish nation. All right. So what we're looking for is the divine pattern for the family. And I believe it is found right here. Now, there are 3 chapters that you need to be very familiar with when it comes to the home. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That is a family chapter. That is a marriage chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You need to be familiar with Ephesians chapter 5, where we're at this morning. You also should be familiar with the New Testament passage or chapter in 1 Peter chapter 3. These are good chapters. These are chapters concerning the home, concerning the roles and responsibilities of husbands and wives and children. These are family chapters, and you need to be familiar with them. There are some Old Testament passages as well. I mentioned Malachi chapter 2. I mentioned, and it was mentioned during the conference, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And all the book of Proverbs, as far as I'm concerned, are good verses for the construction of a healthy home. These verses, however, they serve for me as a summary. A summary of what God has said about the family. And we find ourselves best served when we're looking for the true construction and paradigm for the perfect family. And you can have the perfect family. Now, it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, perfect doesn't mean sinless, without fault or mistakes. It means that it mechanically works properly. And we need perfect families. And there is a paradigm for perfect families. And so, I want to bring this to your attention before I start reading. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And from verse 18 up until verse 22, on the heart of the Holy Spirit and the apostle is marriage and the home. Okay? Verse 18 begins to get a flow that leads to verse 22 and following, where the issues are the family and marriage. Okay, so this is like the prelude for the subject of family and marriage. Now, keep in mind, this is not human opinion. This is the Word of God. Okay? We need to get our principles and our paradigm from the Word of God. God designed the family. We've already learned that. Okay? He's the one that knows better than we do on how it should function and how it should operate. And we don't need experts in psychology or philosophy. We don't need professional counselors. We need to get back to the Word of God. Most people who I've counseled who have had problems in their home and their marriage are failing to follow the precepts of God's holy Word. That's why they're having problems. Should have got amen. Okay? This is not hard, people. This is simple. It is so simple that I have seen former generations that didn't have so much as a seventh grade education have a happy, wholesome, healthy home. Raise children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some of your great grandparents, I venture to say, did not have so much as a 10th grade education, but they had a healthy, wholesome, happy home. Brother Patterson, am I right? I'd see him, march his grandparents, Aaron's great-grandparents, march those, how many kids they have, 8, 10? 14. March them 14 kids up on the stage and sing the praises of God through the years. How did they do that? There was only a handful of books written on the subject. There wasn't a Lifeway bookstore. There wasn't a blog to read or an internet to research. I'll tell you how they did it. For thousands of years they did it by basing the home on the Word of God. And here's the thing, folks. That system worked. It worked for thousands of years. years, and it will work today. You know, I'm gonna not be very long. Like I said, this isn't hard. My dad, who only has a seventh grade education, got this, understood this. My mother, who married my dad at the age of 14, understood these principles. And they've been married. I don't know how long they've been married. They're 77. A long time. A long time. I can't have that much. Listen, you don't need a college education to understand how to have a happy, wholesome, happy home. You need God. That's the bottom line. It's that simple, folks. You bring God into the equation. You bring God in your life. You bring God in your home. And I'll tell you what, you will make memories that will last forever. I'm going to say that again. You'll make memories that'll last forever. All right. So these instructions to the wife in verse 22, the instructions to the husband in verse 25, the instructions to the children in chapter 6 and verse 1, the instructions to the parents in chapter 6 and verse 2, it all flows from this. This is it. All teaching on marriage and the family flows from these principles found in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. And so, this is the first and necessary prerequisite. Now, I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, I preached on this. I preached on the contrast, the difference of being filled with the Spirit and being filled with emotion. I preached about this whole philosophy and idea and demonic religion in Ephesus that he was addressing, where that they were having communion with their false deities by getting drunk. In other words, the expression of their religion and communication with their God was by getting intoxicated. Now, he contrasts that with what we're supposed to do. You need to commune with God. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You know what? After God constructed the family, and Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they were a home, you know what happened every afternoon? God came and visited them in the cool of the day. Whoa. Man, that gives me glory bumps. I tell you what that will regenerate and renew our homes in this world. It's God's presence in them. The power of God in our homes. God visiting and showing up at home. Listen, if God only shows up when you're at church, you've got a problem. He needs to show up at home. And anyway, our religion, just like those that worship false deities, our worship gets its fullest expression by being filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, our religion is brought to its fullest riches by being filled with the Spirit. Amen? I mean, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody know about that? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, literally, it means to be constantly filled with the Spirit. I'll say this, you'll never have a problem in your marriage if you are always filled with the Spirit. Amen? Oh, come on. What we're talking about here is a very simple, old-fashioned expression called a family altar. Everybody say that with me. Family altar. I mean, the place where we meet God. I mean, you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and you can see that even Adam and Eve's children knew there was a place that they were supposed to offer up sacrifice. There was a place and a day and a time where they were supposed to meet God. Abel and Cain knew. They knew that there was a place to meet God. And we need God in our homes. We need God in our homes. We need God in our hearts. God in our lives. So we are to be filled with the Spirit. If you want godly living, if you want to please God, if you want to serve God, if you want to love God and worship God, then you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need family altars. Family altars. Now, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he tells us, if you want to turn there in Colossians 3 and 16, an expression of the same thing, where he says being filled with the Spirit is letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all spiritual songs and hymns, singing and making melody in your heart. So we have like an equal verse that talks about the Word of God. Okay, so that's the second thing. Not only do we need family altars, we need to get back to the family Bible. Let me ask you, how many people here have a family Bible? I'm talking about the big one. Okay, that's got all the writing in the front. All the genealogies. Now, I occasionally go to yard sales, and there's nothing that kind of just makes my heart ache than to go buy a box that has in it an old big family Bible. Somebody discarded it. They think they can sell it. Folks, we need to get back to the Word of God in our homes, in our marriages, in our lives. We need to get back to the thus saith the Lord kind of rules and regulations when it comes to raising our children and interacting with our spouses and constituting our homes. If we want a happy, wholesome home, we're going to have the Word of God prevailing in it. So when the Word of God or the Word of Christ, it dominates our lives, when it dominates our home, And what that means is that we respond to that. We're obedient to the Word of God. So we have the family altar where we're filled with the Spirit. We have the family Bible where we obey the Word of God. Your children need to see you obeying the Word of God. When the Word of God dominates our lives and you respond in obedience, it's the same thing as being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? People controlled by the Holy Spirit, they obey the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to get to preaching here in a minute now. Are you ready? Next thing we need is mentioned in this verse. Y'all hold on. It's going to sting a little bit. All right? If you want to have the right marriage and the right relationship and a healthy, vibrant, whole, if you want a family relationship, it needs to be built upon the redeeming life that comes through being born again of the Spirit of God. It needs to be structured and founded upon the power of the Holy Spirit, your family, your life. It needs to be energized by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be in obedient to the Word of God. We need to have the power of God, and we need to obey God. So, the family altar, the family Bible. Jared and Mallory, if you guys didn't get one as a wedding gift, go buy one. Get you a great big old family Bible. It's got all those big pictures in it where your kids will pull it out from time to time, just want to look at the pictures. You know? There was only like a very few people that raised their hand that said they had a family Bible. Isn't that sad? And we wonder what's happened to our homes and our lives. All right, verses 19 and 20. Y'all gonna like this. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, let me pause there. Well, verse 20, I'll go ahead there. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father and the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need the family altar. You need to be writing those in the back of your bulletin. The family Bible. And you need family praise. Your family needs to learn how to praise the Lord. Now, some of my fondest memories is when we traveled a lot when my ministry, and we would be in that old Aerostar van, and Aaron and Tiffany would be in the back in a car seat, and I'd have Southern gospel music cranked up, and we'd all be going down the road, and Tiffany couldn't even talk, but she's back there curling her hair like this, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And Aaron be singing at the top of his lungs. You remember, son? And Angel be singing, and I'd be singing, and we'd just all be singing, and we'd just be glorifying the Lord, going down the road, just glorifying the Lord. I mentioned about my family wanting to meet around the piano all the time and just sing. Even today, we're in our 50s, my cousins, we get together, and we'll stand in a little circle, and we'll face one another, and we'll cut loose with a song we hadn't sung in 30 years. It sounds pretty good sometimes. Oh, just the Lord showing up in your praise and in your worship. You need to have family worship. Amen? Times that you worship God as a family. Not just at church, but at home. Should have gotten an amen. So you've got a life that's filled with the Spirit, one devoted to the Word of God, and you've got a person who is praising the Lord. You've got family praise. And you'll have, somebody whose life is filled with praise, that person will be filled with joy. Amen? They'll be filled with joy. Yeah. Sometimes we had this little saying, and I've used this before, but anytime we'd get in any kind of argument with one another, we had this little phrase. Remember what it was, Aaron? Happy family. Happy family. Happy family. You know. And we would remind ourselves that we need to maintain that joy. And so, if you give me a Spirit-filled person obedient to the Word of God who is full of praise from the heart and full of the joy of God, it's really hard to have a problem with that person. It's really hard to have an argument with that person. It's hard to be at odds with that person. Amen? Yeah. I'll show you a person you can get along with. I mean, somebody full of the Spirit, obeying the Word of God, making praise from their heart, full of joy. I guarantee you, you can get along with that person. If you can't, you've got a serious problem. Serious problem. All right. And I'll say this. You show me a person full of the Holy Spirit, obeying the Word of God, making melody in his heart, praising God, full of joy, and I'll show you a happy person. I'm going to say it again. I'll show you someone who's happy. Amen? Now, we've had some good examples at this church where just about anything made them happy. That makes me so happy. I'll tell you how they got there. They got there by being filled with the Spirit, obeying the Word of God, making melody in their hearts, having a heart full of joy, and that person is a happy person. And if you want a happy family, you need the ingredients necessary to end up with happiness. Yeah. You know, there's all these gimmicks out here, you know. If you've got a problem in your marriage, they'll tell you, well, you know, buy her dinner, take her out on a date, you know, and, you know, buy her flowers. And all that stuff's good. I mean, you need to do that stuff. But if you've got a problem in your marriage, that's not going to fix it. You know, I read somewhere somebody said, well, you go out and buy a teddy bear, you know, and you put a piece of paper in there with poetry and you wrap it in aluminum foil and you put it in the back of the freezer behind the frozen lasagna, and when she finds it, she'll just... Well, listen, if you've got a problem in your marriage, the last thing you need is a frozen teddy bear. I suggest you hide that thing somewhere else. Okay? Those kind of things are not going to repair your marriage! When you've got a problem in your home, you need God. When you've got a problem in your life, what do? You've got to turn to God.
When you've got a problem with your children, parents, listen to me. I don't care how many books you read, you get on your face and you call on the name of the Lord.
I'm not boasting, but and I don't mean this in a boastful way, but I remember hearing Ange one time. She was talking to Tiffany, and I just happened to overhear her say this, and she said, "You better live right. Your dad walks with God, and he will find out." You better walk the straight and narrow. And God's been faithful concerning those things. Yeah, he sure has. All right, so we got a family altar with a family Bible that's giving praise to God, a family that's glorifying the Lord, full of joy. Notice also what he says, giving thanks always. There needs to be gratitude in the family. Gratitude, giving thanks always. We're talking about love. We're talking about family love. We're talking about divine love. We're talking about the love of God being in your home. Giving thanks to God for everything, even the bad stuff. Just giving thanks. Family gratitude. I hope you're writing all these down. Family altar, family Bible, family praise, family joy, family gratitude. There's only one way to cultivate a right relationship with others in the church. Listen to me. And that's by being filled with the Spirit. Obeying the Word of God. Having a life full of praise. Giving thanks always. That's the only way we can have a functioning, proper relationship, even in our churches. And it also will work at home. Listen, if stuff at church doesn't work, we don't need to be exporting it. But I'm telling you, the stuff that we do at church works. And it'll work in your home. It'll work in your life. It'll work in this nation. It'll work in this world. It'll work. It'll work. I tell you what, you show me somebody full of the Holy Ghost who's obeying the Word of God, who's praising the Lord and giving thanks always to the Lord, and I'll show you somebody you can get along with. Even troubles that we have in our church is a result of somebody not doing these things. Okay? It's always somebody walking in the flesh, wanting to gratify the flesh, full of pride, praising themselves, that causes the conflicts in our churches. And what causes conflict in our churches will cause conflict in your home. Okay, let me close. Appreciate you listening to me. So we're talking about a perfect paradigm for a perfect family. It's not hard. There's not a gimmick, okay, that we're using here. We're just simply using the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it's worked for thousands of years, and it'll work till the Lord comes back. Amen. Yeah. See, your life, your marriage, your home, it's a spiritual issue. You read Malachi, and it talks about the husband and wife relationship and the covenant that they've entered into, and it talks about the spiritual aspects of that. Home is a spiritual issue. We're dealing with spiritual things in the home. And we need to get back to the basics of spiritual power to bring healing to the home. All right, let me close with this one. Verse 21, okay? Now, I know there's different duties and responsibilities, and I'll say this. If you follow this premise, and you're concerned about obeying God and praising God and thanking God and serving God, the roles and responsibilities that the Bible lays out concerning husbands and wives won't be a problem to you. It's not a problem for the husband to be head of the home. Anything with two heads is a monster. Anything without a head is dead. It's not a problem. There's duties, roles, responsibilities. The problem is nobody wants to submit to anybody now. You guys realize the Bible says that you're to obey me? Hebrews chapter 3. Do you realize the Holy Ghost has appointed me as an overseer of you? That I am over you in the Lord? That I'm going to give an account for being over you? I mean, that's what the Bible says. But nobody, we live in a society where everybody wants to do their own thing. Their ways, their wants, their desires. It's me, 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 me. And nobody wants to submit to anybody else. And I'm telling you, the only way we can have happiness is from time to time, submit to one another. And even as a pastor, I have to submit to you. Yeah. I was thinking about something that was said to me by a preacher up north. I'll just put it this way. And he was worried about his third Sunday night singings. People weren't showing up for third Sunday night singings. They would come Sunday morning, they wouldn't stay for the singing. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? And one third Sunday morning, he got up and he said, he looked at his congregation. He said, "Do you folks like watching American Idol?" And they're like, "Yeah." "You like watching The Voice?" "Yeah, oh yeah, we love that preacher." And he said, "Well, apparently you just don't like songs that glorify God, because you don't show up on third Sunday night sings." Stings a little bit, doesn't it? I tell you what, one of the best things that can happen to your home is for you to be in a Spirit-filled church with Spirit-filled preaching and Spirit-filled singing. Amen? I'm telling you, keeping your home and your family under that kind of stuff will go a long ways. It'll go a long ways in raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sure will. All right, so I'm gonna close with family unit. Family unit, okay? I'm about done. All right. Listen to this. All right. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, or devoted to God. Submitting yourselves to one another. Now let me say this. I'm gonna take a stand for the kids. I believe in the family unit. I believe that we are to support one another and encourage one another. I don't believe that parents ought to what does it say in the sixth chapter? That they should be very careful in how they treat. Parents should be very careful in how they treat their kids. Very careful how they treat their kids. This says we're to submit to one another. Within the family unit, there is mutual, everybody say mutual. Mutual submission. That child is not a rug rat. It is a life that has been given by God for some great purpose to glorify His name. And you need to treat those little ones like individuals. They're not all the same. They're different. And there are times, even as a parent, you need to be in subjection unto them. You know, I remember growing up, that didn't happen a lot in our home. And so I made a change after we got married and had children. And I remember Tiffany, when Aaron was playing football, we used to make Tiffany go and sit and watch Aaron. She says, "Why do I have no interest in this. Why do I have to sit there and watch Aaron, my brother?" Well, here's the submission part. We need to submit to one another. Amen? That needs to be done in our homes. We need to recognize the individuality of a child, the individuality of a wife, the individuality of a husband. We need to recognize that and submit to those things. And we might have a perfect home. I believe this is the perfect paradigm for the home. Family altar, family Bible, family praise, family joy, family gratitude, and the family unit. Yeah, that's happy family. That is happy family. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me. You know, one of the individualities of our home is that each one of us are accountable and responsible. Devin, get a song. Each one of us are accountable and responsible for our own lives before God. Our children, Wasn't it a blessed thing for them when they got saved to look at you and tell you that they for themselves knew that they knew God? Amen. Isn't that an individual thing? I mean, how did you as a parent coach them or help them when they were under conviction and the need of the blood of Jesus? You didn't die for them. They needed Christ. And all you could do is say, you need to go to God. Surrender to Him. Seek Him. Come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. And wasn't it a blessed thing? And you know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, we become equal once they become brothers and sisters. They're not just sons and daughters, but they're also brothers and sisters when we're in the family of God. Perfect paradigm for the home. Be filled with the Spirit. Ah, yeah. Obey the Word of God. Is that important? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Have praise. I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in your home. Give thanks always for everything unto the Lord. Lastly, construct a family unit where everybody's involved. Everybody takes part. Everybody's participating in this thing. That you do it as a unit. You go to church as a family. You worship God as a family. You have family devotion as a family. You pray as a family. You proclaim the wonderful glory of God as a family. When you're a family unit, doing the family thing, walking with God.